They're known as some of the original recyclers. The National Tractor Parts Dealer Association is a sponsor of the Business News Hour. With members in the United States, Canada, Great Britain, Australia, and New Zealand, delivering ag parts to farmers and ranchers. NTPDA.com.
Welcome back to Insight on Business, the News Hour. Grateful you are listening from wherever on the planet you happen to reside. We have reported on this phenomenon several times in the past about the escalating costs of cars, vehicles, used cars in particular. I don't know if I've ever seen so many price additions and increases in my lifetime. But we've got someone on the phone with us for a returning guest. His name is Carl Brower, and Carl is with iccars.com. And yes, we will have links to iccars.com on the radio blog so you can see for yourself what's going on in the world of used cars. Carl, welcome back. Grateful that you're spending time with us again today.
Hey, great being on with you. And as you noted, never a dull moment in the car world, especially for pricing the news these days.
Yeah, so let's get right into this. I received from iccars.com a presser just the other day that indicated prices for specific vehicles are going up 15, 18, 22, 24%. What's going on, Carl?
It's really a bizarre circumstance because most people who have any knowledge of the car industry can tell you the last place you want to invest your money is in used cars. They typically go down in value. I mean, you got specialized cars, limited production cars from the past and all that. But, you know, a Ford F-150 or a Honda Accord, high volume, you know, kind of everyday functional cars, those are not where you would normally see appreciating assets over time. But over the past year, that's exactly what these cars have become. The demand for new cars is not being met because of a chip shortage. And when you can't go buy the new car you want, you keep the old car you've already got until you can. And that means there's not used cars coming into the marketplace because no one's getting rid of their current car to buy a new one. And the result is a reduction in supply. And of course, it's happening right when we've seen an increase in demand for various reasons. You know, people now working from home more often, moving out of the city, maybe not wanting for various reasons to use public transportation or Uber as much. So there's more demand for personal car ownership than there was a year plus ago. And there's a shortage in both new and used cars for various reasons. So you get both supply and demand hit in the areas that make the price go up.
And we just had a story yesterday. Carl Brower, ladies and gentlemen, from IC Cars is our guest. You talked about Uber and Lyft and ride hailing. Those prices are going up as well, and there are longer wait times. And the question is, why is that? Well, the answer is that there's such demand, but no drivers. And so what they're having to do is go to peak charge times. And so people are paying more for ride hailing at the same time. So we have this really interesting confluence of things going on as the United States attempts to get out of the pandemic. People are maybe going back to the office. Transportation is an issue. Not enough used cars in the pipeline. And it's a supply and demand. Where are you seeing, Carl Brower, where are you seeing prices increase the most? Is it regional or is it just all across the board?
We are seeing regional differences. Interestingly, for instance, state of Rhode Island, we just did a regional analysis and the state of Rhode Island was one of the big bumps in price. And then kind of right next door to it in Vermont was one of the smaller ones. So it's not like, you know, oh, it's the western part of the country or the eastern part. It's kind of everywhere. You know, any state could be really up versus not up nearly as much, but they're all up a little bit. And then more interesting to me is the types of vehicles. Pickup trucks have been hot for a while, and they only got hotter during the pandemic. A lot of people just felt they wanted a truck for the flexibility and kind of additional security they'd get once the pandemic broke. But what you didn't expect, or I didn't expect, was a bump in convertible and coupe and sports car prices. Yeah. I mean, you expect functional cars to go up, and SUVs, we know, have been hot forever. Well, SUVs haven't done bad in the past year. They're doing fine. Trucks are the number one category that's gone up. Convertibles and coupes is the number two category, Michael. Now, what is going on with that? I mean, these are the opposite ends of the spectrum, right? High functionality, high utility trucks, and zero functionality, totally kind of selfish, impractical coupes and convertibles? And the answer, of course, is I've been saying consumers are seeking joy now like they haven't before through their cars. There were a lot of things we were not allowed to do for the past year, but one thing you could always do if you wanted to was go get in your car and go for a drive. And I think a lot of people decided, if all I can do is go for a drive in today's world, I'm going to make the drive as fun as possible. And that's why coupes and convertibles became hot.
Well, I have a confession to make, Carl. I am lusting over a 2002 Ford Thunderbird. And I don't care what color it is, although I did see on icycars.com a baby blue one, and I go, oh my gosh, is that so cool. And you're absolutely right. I think it is this guilty pleasure kind of a thing going on with these coupes and convertibles and sports cars. Why not? And if people have been saving money, maybe they become more affordable, yes?
Well, that's 100% true, too, is that a lot of the people's budget that would have gone for vacations, nights out, dinners, couldn't get spent for the past 12 months. So I do absolutely feel like, you know, the suffering that we're seeing in a lot of the service industries and travel industries, which is really unfortunate, but I think a lot of that money has been funneled into these higher prices we're seeing on the new and used car side. That's exactly where that money's gone. Trucks have gone up 25% on average in the past year. That's a $7,383 increase. And then again, right behind them, 25.3% for trucks, 25.1% for convertibles. They're up just over $6,000 on average in the past year.
Will this at some point, Carl, mitigate?
It will mitigate. These circumstances are a unique confluence that have come together in a relatively short time frame. And whether it's a slow increase in global chip production that'll stop the new car restriction, to people having other, you know, things they can spend their money on because things will open up and they won't necessarily want to just spend money on a car because they can actually go back on vacations and out to dinner and stuff. This will settle in, but it's going to probably take another 6 months. I don't think we're going to see much activity in terms of these price increases finally breaking the other way and coming back to normal before 2022.
Yeah, and one of the things that's, and you mentioned this, is the lack of semiconductor chips. Those go in everything from refrigerators to vehicles, and there's an acute shortage of those. And interestingly enough, we had this news story on just the other day. There are the 10 largest manufacturers of semiconductor chips are just raking in the cash. They cannot produce them fast enough. And then we've got shipping issues, things being tied up in the ports in Los Angeles and other places, again, because there's a lack of labor to offload so many of these things. So this is just a really interesting confluence of so many issues that is driving the price of used cars to highs that we've not seen in the past. Has there ever been something like this happen before, Carl, that you're aware of?
I've never seen this many factors come together. I mean, obviously, global pandemics are not everyday occurrences. And let's hope that stays that way, by the way. But that, you know, was a huge trigger point for everything from car production restrictions to pandemic people, you know, staying inside their houses and wanting more electronic devices. You know, besides convertibles and coupes to go out and have one of the few things you could do outside your house, a lot of people realize, well, I might as well buy a PlayStation or an Xbox or maybe a new computer because I'm stuck in my house anyways. So you had a global demand spike for chips. And now the cars, but you also had this spike for cars, as we've already discussed. And so that's where you had car companies competing with traditional electronics companies more than ever before. And you can probably guess where the higher profits are. I mean, cars are not as high a profit items as phones and gaming consoles and laptops. So when you're Samsung and you're Sony and you're saying, we need more chips, you probably have more price elasticity to pay. You can probably just crank your price up a little more to pay it. And the car companies are a little more restricted in that area.
Our guest is Carl Brower, ladies and gentlemen. He is with iccars.com, an analyst who looks at these numbers on a regular basis and puts out some fabulous data sheets about what's going on. And this, we happen to be talking about the used car inventory, which is slim, the used car prices, which have shot up like a rocket. We were talking about regional areas, Carl. I would suspect in California or in the warmer weather places, maybe coupes and convertibles are a big thing. Is it mostly pickup trucks that you're seeing in the Midwest and northern states?
Yeah, you are. You're seeing, where people already are leaning toward those kind of vehicles, that's mm-hmm. where the demand is higher. But honestly, I think the reason that we've seen pickups become so much more expensive is because that we've seen them step out of the traditional buyers. That's what's really driving the price up, is that you've had a lot of people who maybe didn't have a pickup before, or maybe had an older one they weren't using that much, suddenly decide they really wanted a new one because the pandemic, I think it made people, kind of nervous, and they felt like trucks were a good thing to have under those circumstances.
Well, I come from this from a personal experience. Right now, my bride, my 5'3" bride, is in a Ford F-150 that she got, of course, through iccars.com, and purchased the vehicle in Minnesota. But she has been lusting after a pickup truck for years, and finally was able to get one just ahead, interestingly enough, just ahead of all these price increases. So yay her.
That was a good move. And one of the things we've been telling people is that if for some reason you're in a circumstance where you have one of these high demand vehicles, trucks being the most obvious one, and you, for whatever reason, don't need it mm-hmm. or can get rid of it, now just getting rid of it and buying another truck or buying another high priced car, it's like when your housing prices go up, you think, oh, my house is worth so much more, I'll sell it. And it's like, yeah, and you're going to pay more for whatever you're going to replace it with. But in this case, if you had a truck and you could either get rid of it and not replace it with anything, this would be a great time to sell. Or if you could replace it with something like a Toyota Prius is a good example, or a Subaru Crosstrek. There are some cars that have not gone up as much as others. It's crazy. You can't hardly find anything that's dropped. But if you've only gone up in the past year as a car 5% or less, that's unique. And some of them out there have gone up that small amount. So, you're trading a 25% increase on trucks for a 5% increase on a Prius, you can actually make out ahead, a little bit.
We discussed the Prius in past conversations as well. You said a Prius and perhaps what, a Subaru? They are holding value pretty much?
Subaru Crosstrek was one of the ones on our site that when we looked at the numbers, that for whatever reason had only gone up like 3 or 4%. Mercedes-Benz GLC, which is their smaller SUV, so there's been a few cars, and one car that actually dropped, the only car we could find that actually had dropped in the past year was the Tesla Model S, believe it
yeah.
or not. It had gone down, and I don't think that's really a statement on Tesla as a brand as much as that particular car. You know this, Michael, that's a 10-year-old design. And they've updated it here and there, but at the end of the day, it hasn't really changed substantially since they debuted in 2011. So, that car is looking old. And at the same time, Tesla themselves have introduced more low-priced models like the Model 3 and the Model Y. So it's really hard for people to justify the price of the Model S at this point.
And another thing, we just, again, had another story about Elon Musk and Tesla, indicating that there's going to be another price increase for the newer models. And also, they're not selling like they had hoped they would sell in China. So, all of these things are really so intertwined. And this is truly, we're talking about used cars in the United States, but this is also a global thing. The automotive industry is said to perhaps lose $10 billion in sales due to the semiconductor chip shortage, and they're idling plants. So all of this, as you indicated, Carl, is going to take some time to wash out.
It really is. And there's going to be a massive reassessment, Michael, of supply chain practices and contracts and lean operation. That was something that Toyota had pioneered, and a lot of other manufacturers chased after, this idea that you only get parts in just in time is another term you hear, where the parts come in only when you really need them. So you're not storing and shipping a bunch of extra parts that sit around unused. Well, suddenly the idea of having a bunch of extra parts sitting around unused looks very desirable when you are having increases in material costs for steel or a complete lack of ability to even get microchips. It would have been nice to have a big bin full of those somewhere. So, there's going to be so many changes from the pandemic, I believe, that are going to be permanent. And this is going to be one of them, is a reanalysis of how the supply chain works and how much kind of backup materials each of the automakers wants to have on hand just in case
there's suddenly an upset to the chain, to the supply chain.
That's a really interesting observation, because you're absolutely right. Just-in-time inventory was a big thing. Has been a big thing for people to save money and not have stuff just laying around. But yeah, maybe folks will be rethinking that. I understand that Mary Barra over at GM has already started rethinking that and loading up on semiconductor chips where they can find them and reopening plants at the same time while others are still trying to figure out what to do. What an interesting topic. And who would have thought that we would be talking about these ridiculous raises in the price of used cars? And now it is the summer driving season, and we're going to have another hit, they tell us, with regard to gasoline prices. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Yeah. Unfortunately, there's no stories about how cheap anything's getting. It seems like every story is about how expensive everything's getting these days.
Yeah. And that's taken a chunk out of Wall Street as everybody's looking at inflation fears. And it's one of those things. Carl Brower, ladies and gentlemen, is his name. He is an analyst with iccars.com. Carl, it is always such a pleasure to talk to you because you know so much about all of this stuff. Have your finger on the pulse of what's going on nationwide. Final question for you, and I know that IC Cars is United States-based. Are you getting any tickles of what's happening globally?
A lot of the same stories. We know the chip shortage is global, so that's causing shortages and restrictions everywhere. You know, there's obviously a big push for EVs, and yeah. I think it's even more aggressive in China and in Europe. So we'll see if there's a shift. You know, we've obviously had an administration shift relatively recently here in the US, and I think we might see some policies that will try to catch up with those other markets in terms of incentivizing electric vehicle sales. And we know the EV revolution is kind of on the cusp now. We've got a lot of vehicles either hitting the markets in the next 6 months or have hit the market in the last 6 months and more coming.
Yeah.
So I think globally, that's what I would say. Something that's beyond the US is this kind of rapid rise in EV development, releases, debuts, and potentially sales. That's what we're going to see next, is how much consumers are ready to buy these vehicles.
Right. And again, if there are incentives here in the United States, that should help the process along. Carl, thanks so very much for spending so much time with us today.
Great being on with you, as always. Let's do it again. The industry is never boring.
Once again, that's our friend Carl Brower from iccars.com. One of the stunning things that he had to tell me off mic was that in a one-month period of time, early April through early May, new car inventories at car dealerships, get this, was down by 16.6%. So new cars are down, used cars are going up in price. It's quite the story. We do have links to iccars.com up on the radio blog. Well, that's a wrap for today. Thanks so very much for being with us. For all of us that put this together each and every day, Chap Ramsey is our production coordinator. Sales and marketing, Aaron Libby, the voice of the Business News Hour, is Hunter Pease. And the music you're listening to right now is arranged, composed, and conducted by our friend James Goodlett of Jam Good Productions. For all those folks and for Carl Brower, my name's Michael Libby. Thanks so very much for being with us. Have yourself a great evening. Be safe, be well, be careful. Most of all, be good to your fellow man. Good day.